Blog Talk Radio.
It is what it is.
All right. Peace, peace, family. What's going on? Thanks for coming back. This is your host, Brother Kev.
And I'm your girl, Tanya.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Mufasa Ra. All right, and we are Collected Minds Radio. And so how's everybody week been going, and did y'all have any announcements this week y'all want to get out?
No announcements for me. Everything's been going pretty good, though, so far, just trying to maintain a lot of foolishness going on. But, you know, you still got to stay strong around here.
That's right, that's right. All right, Mufasa, Brother Mufasa, what about you?
Man, everything been good my way as well, brother. You know, I don't have any major announcements to make today, but I will say we got some elections coming up here, August the 7th, and I would love to see my community, me being a black man, I would love to see people from the black community get out and vote. So that is my announcement that, hey, and I guess it is a major announcement that, hey, voting is coming up. Let's participate, study these candidates, and see somebody you like, you want to roll with, get out there and place your vote.
Indeed, indeed. And that leads us to today's show. You know, it's the last Sunday of the month, and we try to do an open discussion here at Collective Minds. So we will be doing an open discussion, and we do have a special guest as well. St. Louis licensed collector Mavis Thomas will be joining us to discuss the details of her job, and also, you know, possibly we can discuss some community issues as well. So give us a call, family. Again, it's Collective Minds Radio. The number is 929-477-1697. And I don't have any announcements really, but I just hope that we are providing some constructive dialogue for the community, and you know, just getting people to think and really think about the situation and how we can improve the quality of our lives as we move forward. So that's what we're doing. And is our guest available? Okay. Yes, Ms. Mavis Thompson, how are you doing?
I am doing just fine, and thank you so much for having me on. I just feel really happy, and I like to start off with all praises to God for who all marvelous things come from.
All right. Thank you for sharing a bit of your evening with us. We do appreciate it. And just for the family who may have not heard of you, can you give us, you know, a background on who you are, what you do, and what the Office of Licensed Collector entails, please?
Absolutely. Well, Mavis Thompson, I'm born and raised right here in the city of St. Louis. I still stay in my childhood home in the Jeff Vandaloo area. I graduated from Lutheran North High School, and then I went on from there to study nursing at the University of Missouri in Columbia. And let's see, some years later I went back and I studied law, and so now I have the blessing of being a nurse and a lawyer. I've also been an elected official prior to the licensed collector's office. I served as the circuit clerk for the city of St. Louis, and that was mainly the supervisor of the state courts that were located in the city. You had juvenile courts, municipal courts, and criminal courts. And so I did that right after Freedman Bosley was the circuit clerk, and then he became the mayor. And so right after him, I became the circuit clerk. And now we fast forward to the licensed collector's office, and I've been serving in that position since October of 2013. Governor Nixon appointed me to finish out the unexpired term of Michael McMillan, who went on to be the president and CEO of the St. Louis Urban League. And the licensed collector is actually the person that licensed all businesses in the city of St. Louis. I won my term, a full term, in 2014, August and November, and now here I stand, ready for re-election.
All right. Sounds good. Did you want to ask a question, Mufas?
No, I was impressed. That is a powerful resume.
Thank you so much, brother. And like I said, all praises and honor to God, because I would not be able to do any of these things if God didn't allow it.
Indeed. I say that. Indeed. So one of the things I wanted to ask is, so what are the steps, say somebody wants to open a business here in the city of St. Louis, what are the steps that they would need to do in order to achieve that?
Yes, sir. Well, first of all, you have to actually be a good citizen. And what I mean by that is that you have to have all your taxes paid up. And so our office, actually, we affiliate with several offices that have something to do with licensing. And so, for instance, the collector of revenue, you would have to have registered with them, the collector of revenue, so that they can make sure that you're on the earnings tax roll. So that's one of the things. The other thing is that you do have to have your business actually certified and through the Secretary of State's office, and so you have to register with them as well. The other thing is that it depends on what type of business that you have. If you're just talking about a regular old brick-and-mortar business, you also need to have an occupancy permit for the building that you occupy. And if it is a restaurant, you also need a health inspection by the health department. So there are various things that you do have to do. For the first time in the history of the license collector's office, you can now file for your business license online. And we have links to all these departments that I name. Another one that I will name is also, if you're selling any goods, you have to have a sales tax, and that's a sales tax. And so that comes from the Missouri State Department of Revenue.
Okay. Indeed. Thank you for that information. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I want to dive into something a little bit more edgy.
Okay.
When it comes to businesses owned by minorities, and, you know, by minorities, I mean black people in North or South St. Louis. I noticed, you know, in St. Louis, we always talk amongst ourselves about, we see these different restaurants that are owned by people other than ourselves, other than black people in our community. Do you have a message of your own of how or why or what is the importance of black people in the community getting more involved into business, and give them some encouragement or some words of how they can go about becoming more business owners themselves?
Yes, and I do. And entrepreneurship, you're freer when it comes to that, because you're not beholden to anybody else for a paycheck. You know, you make your own money. You go out there, and like the Bible says, you work. You work to make sure that you are fed and your family is fed. Now, the thing that I can do to actually, that's one inspiration in itself. Isn't that true? That you want to be your own boss. You want to be your own person. You want to own your business. And so
indeed,
the other thing is that I think that you need to study up on it. You just don't jump into something without doing the research that is necessary. First, you got to find out, am I going to only be a solo person that I'm just doing business by myself, or will I have a partner? And if you have a partner, you have to figure out how you're going to incorporate your business. Is it just going to be a limited liability? Is it going to be a corporation? Different things like that. And you know what? We have workshops on all of that. One of the things that we did, that we made sure that people would know how to run their business, how to do business with the city, how the Affordable Care Act impacts their businesses' taxes. Our very last form was safeguarding businesses against crime. And so we do forums for the businesses to help them out. Also, the city of St. Louis has what's called a business assistance center. And the state also has assistance for small businesses. We partner with all of them, and we ask that you do your homework and do your research, and then we will guide you along the way. But the most important thing is that small businesses are the economic engine of any city, any state, any country. And so once you have a business, you can hire people, and you can put other people to work as well. And that's what we've seen, especially in the African-American community. If we have a business, we normally hire African-Americans. And so we're putting them to work as well. So right off the top of my head, those are things and reasons that I see why people should go into business for themselves.
All right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Now, there was a recent incident here in St. Louis. And just by the way, if you're just joining us, this is Collected Minds Radio. Please give us a call. We have a special guest, Ms. Mavis Thompson, who is the St. Louis license collector. I know we have a lot of callers from around the country. So you may have a license collector in your city. And, you know, you may want to give us a call and you can ask her a question. And just apply that to wherever you live. So my question is, Ms. Mavis, we had a recent incident that actually made national news where there was, I guess, a gas station employee or maybe the owner had kicked the lady in the chest, knocking her down or whatever. You know, and like I said, it made national news. People were out there protesting and so on and so forth. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that particular event and what type of steps do we take if a business violates the community?
Well, one of the things, I don't know all of the facts, but of course I have heard some of the facts and about the incidents. And I just let you know that although we support all businesses, we do not support criminal activity whatsoever. And so the community decided that they were going to go and shut that business down and have those individuals arrested, and I stuck by the community's decision.
Indeed, indeed. Appreciate that. Roger Starr, did you have any questions?
Well, I don't, but I would like to let's try to take it to the phone lines and see if we have anyone that may want to ask a question or so or have a comment. So let's go to area code 336-965. Caller, do you have a question or a comment?
Well, I don't have anything for St. Louis because I don't live in St. Louis, so I don't really know what's going on in St. Louis, so it's kind of new to me. But I was just wondering about some of the people who stand on the corners with those signs. How they able to, how do they get taxed? I mean, we get taxed if we have a small business and stuff like that, but how do they get taxed when they make money on the corner? They're being the entrepreneur for real because they're being their own boss and making their own money from other people. How do they get licensed and how are they being taxed on doing that type of a business?
Well, in the city of St. Louis, if I'm understanding your question correctly, is that the people that stand on advertising a business, they actually work for that business. And so they're paid directly from the business that is asking them to go out and advertise whatever it is that they're selling or promoting. And
well,
so
not
taxed. The business is taxed.
Okay.
Well, I think what the caller was asking, you correct me if I'm wrong, like some of the panhandlers that you may see standing out on the corner, not so much for hire individual that's working for an actual company, but just maybe like an individual, just like a panhandler standing out. Is that your question, caller?
Yes, that's what I was
saying. Well, like a vegetable stand or somebody out selling a watermelon off a trailer, something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, they should have in the city of St. Louis, they're mandated to have a vendor's license.
Okay. and be a
now, again, ma'am, I can only speak for the city of St. Louis, but in the
right.
city of St. Louis, the word panhandling means something different than somebody that's out there legitimately selling something. What I understand a panhandler to be is that someone that is asking for something for free.
Right, right.
Indeed.
Right.
Indeed. Now, I want to ask a question as far as the vendor's license, because I know a lot of entrepreneurs. I'm sorry about that. Thank you for calling in, Carl. Appreciate it, and please stay on and listen. I know a lot of people are trying to be entrepreneurs, and one of the ways that they start until they can get the brick and mortar is they may go online or just try to vend at different events or what have you. Or what is the process to get a vendor's license? And maybe if you can give us a price for the listeners, and what that entails to get your vendor's license.
Yes, well, you've said a couple of things here. If you're vending at a festival or something like that, it is the organizers of the festival that get that license to cover all of the vendors that are there. And so you don't need it for that particular type of thing. But let's just say, we have what's called pop-up shops. Pop-up shops, they will go somewhere and maybe rent a place for the day, and they do need a vendor's license for that. Normally, vendor's license, or they go by the length of the time that you're actually going to be vending, and it's $25 a day.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay. Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So you hear that, listeners, it's $25 a day to get your vendor's license. That is a great start to entrepreneurship. So
that's right.
And also, we've just made some recent changes within the last year or so that if you want to do business out of your home, that business license has been reduced from the normal fee of $200 a year to $25 a year. But you also have to go through what's called a conditional use hearing so that they can make sure that your house is set up to do the business that you say that you want to do out of your home. So there is an inspection, a hearing that is required.
Okay, that's good information.
And then for food, now we just can't play around with food. Food can make people sick. They can even die from poisonings and things in food. Salmonella, different bacterias, and so they don't allow you to sell food out of your home. It has to be unless you have a commercial kitchen. And so most of the entrepreneurs now, there are several commercial kitchens that have opened up around the city that you can utilize that facility.
All right. Indeed. You want to go to the call lines, Roger, see if we have...
Yeah, let's take another caller.
Okay. All right.
Caller 314-448. Caller, do you have a question or a comment?
All right, they could just be listening. Again, if you're just joining us, family, we have a special guest, licensed collector of the city of St. Louis, Ms. Mavis Thompson. There is a primary election coming up August 7th, and we do encourage everyone to, go out and vote. Do your research on the candidates, like Brother Mufasa said. And, participate in the process, especially these local elections. They do have a big impact on your lives and the things you do on a day-to-day basis. So give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. And this is Collective Minds Radio. Did you have a question, Mufasa?
I wanted to ask Ms. Thompson, because you have such a wide background, with a history with St. Louis City. So I wanted to ask you this one. This is as far as like the residency requirements for the police officers. Is that still something that's ongoing, that St. Louis City police officers have to live in the city, or are they allowed to live out of the city limits?
No, they right now there is a residency rule, and as far as I know, the piece of legislation is still in the hands of the Board of the Aldermen. I can't tell you exactly where that piece of proposed legislation is as far as the process of the Board of Aldermen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it has
so that was,
been something that has been proposed to the Board of Aldermen to eliminate the residency rule. And I don't think that it's only for police officers. I think it's eliminating the residency rule for anybody that wants to work for the city of St. Louis. And before we go on, we were talking about some of the things that the license collector does besides just our statutory duty of licensing businesses. We publish our informational brochure, and we were the very first ones in City Hall to publish our brochures not only in English but also in other languages. And we did that because we went around and we surveyed the majority of business owners here in the city of St. Louis. And we came up with Spanish, Bosnian, Vietnamese, and we even have the informational literature printed in Braille for our blind business owners. Now, you mentioned about the gas mark and that particular gas mark. I don't want people to get any kind of misconception that we are condoning at all, shutting all Arab or ethnic businesses down. What I said, and I want to make it very plain, is that because there was criminal activity there, that we condoned what the community decided to do, because there was criminal activity. Those people have been charged, as far as I know. I don't know the whole fact, but they were arrested. I don't know if they've been charged, but they were arrested on assault charges.
Right. Correct. That is correct. Okay. Thanks for clearing that up. And if you're just joining us, family, again, it's Collective Minds Radio. We have special guest Miss Mavis Thompson, the St. Louis City License Collector. And let's go to the call lines, Roger.
Okay, let's take caller 314. Okay, hold on. 616, call, you have a question or comment? Okay, just listening.
Okay, did you have another, want to go to another call or?
What I can do, you guys, I can also talk about some of the other great things that we've done in our administration.
Okay. Yeah, let's hear it. Good.
Yeah, we also talked about the convening of the forums for businesses on pertinent business topics. We already talked about the Affordable Care Act and its impact on small businesses. We had a forum on that. We also had a forum on DBE, which is Disabled Business Enterprises, Minority Business Enterprises, MBE, and also WBE, Women Business Enterprises. And so we had a forum where we could teach people how to go about getting their various certifications, because certain, especially for the city of St. Louis, it requires that some businesses to get ahead, that you need to have those certifications, and so we provided that form. One of the ones that we're very, very proud of is that daycare operators here in the city of St. Louis came to me, and especially the minority daycare owners, and they said that they were being treated differently than their counterparts. And so what we did was we did the research, and we had a forum that brought the state in, brought the inspectors in, and tried to resolve how they were being treated differently. We found out that the daycare operators in general needed 12 hours of certification every year to remain certified to have a business that operated a daycare. And out of that one-day form, we gave them 8 of the 12 hours that they needed to get their certification. And we keep up with them. We monitor the situation, and it has improved, and it's much better.
Indeed, indeed. Now, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I don't know if this was an issue here in St. Louis, but I know it was an issue in other cities around the country where the African braiding people were braiding hair,
and I guess they were maybe doing it out of their home, and they were saying kind of the same thing, that they were being discriminated against or not being treated fairly. They, based on them being black or African, as far as the hair braiding, would that fall under a home business, or how would that type of license work?
No, sir. Anytime that you're working with people's hair, that you're working mm-hmm. with their face, their fingernails, their toenails, barber shops, beauty shops, they are certified. They must have a cosmetology or a barber's license. Just because people are saying that we want to braid hair, they have to be certified by the state and have their professional license to do that.
Okay. Got you. Indeed.
I got
indeed.
Another question this time.
Yes.
Because being a black man, I always try to be a voice, and I'm definitely interested in what's going on with black people in the St. Louis, in the St. Louis area and abroad. So my question ties back into what I asked you earlier about black businesses. The types of businesses that you see, minorities applying for, what type of business do you see a lot of minorities applying for? And also, can you also let us know some of the things that the city is doing to ensure that, the percentage of black-owned businesses is fair, that they're getting their fair shake? I thought about that when I remember years ago when there was a big protest on the highway with, the black construction workers, and they're saying they wasn't getting a fair shake in the construction market. So I'm just curious of what type of things has the city put in place to ensure that minorities are getting a fair shake in business?
Well, one of the things that it's a broad question, but I'm going to answer mm-hmm. it from the city's point of view, that
yes.
In the city of St. Louis, they have certain numbers or goals that they try to achieve when it comes to minority participation, as well as women participation, as well as disabled business owner participation. And those goals have been set. I can't say exactly what they are right now off the top of my head, but those goals have been set and they must be abided by. And so we have to stay diligent to make sure that those goals are being abided by. And I believe that right now that the city is making an effort to make sure that those goals are achieved. Now, you talk about the highway shutdown, again, that was before the goals were actually set and in place. And I particularly was on my way with another lawyer friend of mine. We were out there on the highway. And then we saw so many people being arrested. We said to ourselves, well, if we get arrested, who's going to get the people out? And so we walked back,
right.
back up to the top. Once the people got arrested, we went to the jail, used our law license to get them out of jail.
Indeed, indeed.
There are many yeah. ways that people, there are many ways that you can use your voice to protest, as you will, or agitate, mm-hmm. as you will. There are many ways
right.
to do that. It doesn't mean that you also have to be out there, the one that's getting arrested, with the example that I just gave you.
Indeed.
Yes,
indeed. Yeah, and I noticed one of the initiatives that your office has is crimes against small businesses or something to that effect. So I just wanted to ask, how big of a problem is that, and what measures are you guys taking to prevent the crimes?
Well, one of the things, it wasn't so much of an initiative. It was another informational forum that we had. That forum,
okay.
the chief of police, our new chief, Chief Hayden, came, and he was our keynote speaker. But we also had people from other departments that came and talked about lighting. They talked about your landscaping. They talked about also how graffiti kind of attracts crime. But one of the things that the police chief was talking about is that, the reason why we actually had this forum, again, is because business owners came to us and said, hey, how can we protect our business against crime? And so one of the things is that we have what's called, now they used to be called neighborhood stabilization officers. I know that they have recently changed. You also have your committee people who are elected, where you can give them a call right away. Of course, you know, if a crime is being committed, you call the police right away. But those are some of the things that the police chief talked about, you know, safeguarding your businesses with lighting and different sorts of alarms, you know, placement of your cash register and placement of your goods, you know, just kind of common everyday sense type thing, common sense everyday things. And so I believe that right now with the crime rate as it is, although it's gone down a little bit, with the crime rate is that right now the police has that as their number one priority with violent crimes. Not saying that they're not paying any attention to small businesses, but they give you also steps that you can safeguard and try to protect your business before it gets into a criminal situation.
Cool.
Hey, I got one final question for Ms. Thompson. How are you feeling about the upcoming election? Who you were up against? And give us a little breakdown of what you would do over that person.
I will, and before I do that, you guys haven't let me finish talking about the good stuff that we've done so that they can make an opinion about who they want to vote for. And so multilingual brochures and do the forms, but also for the first time in the history of the City of St. Louis License Collector's Office, small businesses can come and sell their wares right there at City Hall once a month, 2 days out of the month. It's called the City Business Open House. Isn't that great?
Wow.
Yes, indeed.
That's nice.
Yeah, so we're really excited about that. We're also excited that we participated in the funding the inaugural STL Youth Jobs, where youth can come and get jobs in the summertime. And so we're one of those places where they can do that and come and do an internship with us over the summer or even seasonally. And we branched out, and we not only hire youth, we also hire retirees and veterans as well to come and help us out seasonally, especially when we're doing our license renewal period. Is a real busy time for us where we need more people. The last thing that I'll mention before I go on and answer your question, sir, is that every single audit that we have received has been a clean audit. Your money is safe with Mavis Thompson as the license collector.
All right, indeed. Again, Collective Minds Radio, we're joined by Mavis Thompson, the St. Louis License Collector. And did you want to go ahead and answer his question, Ms. Thompson?
I do. And the thing is that, you know, people ask me about, you know, my opponent. And I always just start off, and I really mean this from the bottom of my heart, that anybody that is, you know, meets the eligibility requirements, which there are basically none for the license collector except that you live in the City of St. Louis, and anybody has the right to run. And so I don't want anybody to get it twisted that I'm against anybody for running against me. Anybody has the right to run. But the thing is that I do not focus on my opponent whatsoever. I focus on the goal, which is victory at the end of the line for me to be reelected as the license collector. That is my goal. And so I think that our race, we always run a very clean race. Like I said, I don't focus on the opponent. We focus on our own race. We have a record, a solid, clean record that we can stand on. And that's what I go out and do. I talk about what I've done, what we've done under the administration. I go out, I talk about that, I talk about all the things that we've done. And so when the people, you know, look at us on one hand and the other, they can see my record, and I stand behind my record wholeheartedly. Because the thing is, you guys, is that I have been blessed to know what my spiritual gift is. And my spiritual gift is service to the community. And right now, I believe that this is where God wants me to be. He placed me here to serve the community.
I say. I say,
we appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah, we really appreciate you spending some time with us this evening. It's been great. You can still listen in. We may have some callers that call back in, but we're going to get on with the show. We do an open discussion this week where we just discuss community events, things that happen in the news, and we just have people call up and share their collective thoughts, as this is Collective Minds Radio. So once again, thank you. Ms. Mavis Thompson, she is running for a license collector. The primary election is Tuesday, August 7th. So make sure you get out there and place your vote. Before you go, Ms. Thompson, any last words you want to share with the family?
Yes, I would like to say that they can always go online to volunteer to work in our campaign, and that is at mavisthompson.org. And they can go online and do that. They can also call anybody that needs a free ride to the polls. They can call our headquarters at 314-339-0789. And it's not too late to make a donation. Campaigns aren't free. We would if you want it. And no dollar amount is too small. And so you can also donate online. You can volunteer online. You can follow us. And also, if you need anything on Election Day, you can actually call the headquarters at 314-339-0789, and that's for a free ride to the polls.
All right. Indeed. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
I appreciate it, Ms. Thompson. I will be coming down there to utilize some of those business services.
Oh, absolutely. And God bless each and every one of you, and thank you.
All right,
okay,
thank you. Indeed. All right, thank y'all. This is Collective Minds Radio. That was just the St. Louis licensed collector. She is the incumbent running again this for the primary this August 7th. Do your research, get out there and vote, and make it happen. So
go support.
Yeah, go support, and especially if you live in the city of St. Louis, and also wherever city that you are in, I believe it's always been good to at least pay attention to your local politics, and especially in cities where black people are the majority or close to the majority, I think we could have a bigger impact, if we just took those local elections and put people in place that serve us. And, can help us out and improve the quality of our lives. So that's what's up. And once again, thanks, Ms. Mavis Thompson, for coming on. All right. So now we are in open discussion, or I believe we may have another special guest on the line as well that we can call, pull in. Roger Starr.
Yes. Yes. We have Ms. Coffee on the line with us. Coffee Wright.
Yes. Hi.
Hello. How you doing? Peace.
Hey, God. Pleased to meet you all. Thank you for having me. This is Coffee Wright. And as you know, I'm running for United States Senate for the entire state of Missouri.
Okay.
Yes,
wow. Okay. Wow. Did you hear that, family? Again, it's Collective Minds Radio. We have another special guest, Ms. Coffee Wright. She is running for a huge seat, which is for the Missouri Senate. Give us a call if you have any questions. The number is 929-477-1697. Now, Ms. Wright, I do want to ask you, what made you want to run for the Missouri State Senate? Oh, Missouri Senate, I'm sorry.
United States Senate.
United States Senate, that's right.
Yes. What made me want to run is that, for one, I didn't feel we had anybody else in the race that was representing the poor people and the working class. And so I feel like we are constantly overlooked, and I also believe in proportionate political representation. And out of over 2,300 senators for the United States, we've only had 8 blacks, and never a black United States Senate represent Missouri ever, male or female. And with that being said, You know, so I feel like that if we're 13% of the population of the United States, then we should be holding 13% of the elected positions. Fair enough?
That's right. That's right.
Okay, well, we're holding less than 2%. There's about 511,000 elected positions, and we hold somewhere between 14 and 16,000 opposed to over 66,000 that we should be holding. And when no other blacks would get in the race, and a lot of the leaders kept asking me, and, you know, I'm not a politician, but I'm willing to do the job. I am an activist, you know, a mother, a grandmother, an activist as well for the missing, the homeless, for any injustice. And so I decided, okay, I fight really hard for our seniors. And so I decided, you know what, until we get in a position of power to change some of these laws, some of these legislations, until we do that, a whole lot is not going to change. So this foolishness out here made me decide, yeah, I need to do it.
That's right.
Somebody
now,
got to do it.
Go ahead, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Ms. This is Mufasa Ryan. First, I wanted to let you know I appreciate your hard work. I've seen you on the battlefield several times. I've seen your work with Brother Zaki Baruti and the work you did with the UAPO. I know that brother quite well. So I've seen you several times. I know you walk it like you're talking. So
Thank you.
I want to ask you how when you go to these communities that, you know, don't look like black people, that are, you know, majority white community out on this campaign trail, how have they been receiving you?
Oh, wow. They've been receiving me well. You know, I was in Boone County, and it was just myself and Derek Phillips, who's my video director, and it was 400 in excess, actually, of over 400 white, Caucasian, people, and it was in a park. So, you know, all you see under these trees. And last time I saw that many white people in a place with a bunch of trees, the black people didn't look too good, you know. I'm looking at, you know, wow. But, you know, but the thing is that, you know, I walked up there as though I was at my family reunion, you know, and they fed me. I had the opportunity to speak truth to power. And my story never changed. My speech never changed. It's never the same because I don't have a written speech. You know, I just speak from my heart. And I don't have to remember it because I already know what I feel. I know what we're going through. I know what our struggle is. So the conversation is easy. But they have been receiving me well, you know. And a lot of whites have came to me. Just yesterday I was at Aldi. and white women said, you're coffee. I'm going to vote for you. You know, I am voting for you. And it shocked me. And I was like, yeah, really? I didn't, you know, had no idea, you know, she would even recognize me, let alone was excited about voting for me. And I think that's because, you know, all these marches, as you said, you see me out on the battlefield. And when we're out there, we got a lot of white people out there, but sometimes it's more white people than black. And
that's
so
true.
When you have, you know, we had about, 8,000 people shutting down after the Jason Stockley trial. It was a whole lot of whites. It was more white than black, I have to say. And so, you know, so we do have some white allies and you know, and some of the causes I fight for, most of the causes I fight for are for everybody, black, white, red, brown, it doesn't matter. And that's universal health care. You got white people because they're not making enough money. A lot of them don't have any insurance. I met a little white girl, 30 years old, in Branson a couple of weeks ago, and she's dying of cancer. 30 years old, have a 12-year-old daughter. She has no insurance, and she can't even be treated. That's sad.
Mm.
You know,
and
so, you know, so universal health care, free college education for everybody, you know. But the main thing that I'm fighting for that really pertains to us, and even the senior citizens, you know, my mom and grandmother, senior citizens, you know, they can't get health care workers because they make more than $1,000 a month. That's foul. You know, when you've been working like a Hebrew slave 40 or 50 years of your life paying into Social Security, and then they tell you, oh, because you get $1,200 a month, you can't get a worker to come out and help you sort your medicine or cook for you or bathe you or whatever, you know. Because we're lucky we're going to get to be a senior citizen, you know. And
That's right. Or we can become disabled,
and we need that service, right?
Yeah,
but
right.
For blacks, what I fight so hard for is it's no denying that we are still experiencing racism to the 10th power, you know. to the 100 power in some cases. And so I have to fight for that because they see the melanated skin and they fear for their life, especially with the police. And that's why I want community control of the police department. I think the citizens should have that. You know, the police department should reflect the ethnicity of the people in the community. And you should live in the community. You know, these police officers, you know, predominantly white in a black community, and they can't even name five families. They can't name five families in the community they serve, you know.
I have to fight for
our people for that. But, you know, they're killing whites too, you know. They're killing whites, unarmed whites, but it mostly happened to us, you know. And mass, we had to end mass incarceration. Who's the majority of people in prison? Us, you know, black, 67%.
Right.
We're not the only ones doing the crime. And, see, that's breaking up the black family. So, you know, I think politics, you know, and economics go together. And so I'm proposing, I want $7.144 billion spent on redoing Dr. Martin Luther King, not only in St. Louis, but creating one in Kansas City. And with that, putting all black businesses up and down. We got to bring up
there
a black
go.
Wall Street family. Mm. We have to.
There you go.
And
there
and,
you go.
And everybody got to eat. So I'm talking about at least $15 an hour for any employee.
Mm.
You know?
There you go.
Because we're not going to continue to make these big corporations rich, and they get millions and billions, and then we're getting $7 to $9 an hour. And how are we going to feed our kids, you know?
That's right. You just sent chills down my spine right there.
Yeah, buddy. So if you're just joining us, family, we are here with Ms. Carla Coffee Wright, and this is Collective Minds Radio. This is Brother Kev, Roger Starr, Brother Mufasa, and she is running for a powerful seat. So for the family that don't know, there's only two Senate seats per state. Is that correct, Ms. Coffee Wright?
That's correct. There's 100 Senate seats in the United States total,
two per state.
And
so
we've never had a black one. Yeah,
we never had a black one in the state of Missouri. So this is very powerful. The primary is August 7th. And, you know, we count on the family to get out and support. I know we got family in Kansas City listening. You can get out and support as well. So, we want to take a call, Roger?
Hello.
Okay. Yeah, here we go.
Okay, take
can
caller.
You, can you hear
I hear you. Okay. Caller 314-627. Call, you have a question or a comment? I guess they're listening.
There we are.
Yeah.
Okay, don't worry about it. Okay, now, so I believe that you're running up against, is that Claire McCaskill?
Absolutely, I'm running against Claire McCaskill and 20 other people, okay? It's 21 of us in the race. 21.
Oh, wow, and this is, 21, and this is on the Democratic side, correct?
Well, total, it's 8 Democratic, 11 Republicans, and then you have the Green Party and Independents, you know. But there's 21 of us. I'm the only black in the race, and I'm going to tell you something. I ain't scared.
Wow. There you go. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, I know for sure.
I ain't scared at all, okay, because, you know, and that's another thing, you know, Claire McCaskill's been in office for 12 years. If she get it again, that'll be 18 years, okay? 18 years is too long. She can stay in there until her youngest grandchild is a senior citizen because it has no time limit. No time limit, you know. That's ridiculous. I don't want to be in there long. When I get this, two terms is enough. And then pass the torch on to a new brain. New power.
Right.
Nobody needs to. The president can't even hold a position that long.
You know, Ms. Wright, I came across some information, and I just want to read this. I want to read this to you. You give me your opinion. Did you know anything about this? If not, what do you think about this, okay? Is that okay?
Sure. Fair enough.
A report released last month by the Action Center on Race and the Economy Institute found that a number of cities and counties paid out $1.87 billion for what activists describe as police brutality bonds. And corporate titans like Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Goldman Sachs made more than $1 billion in profits from best investors who buy these bonds. Is that something that you were aware of? If so, can you touch on your opinions on that?
You know, that's going to take more than just a brief answer to that. And the thing about it is we have been bamboozled, hoodwinked, and everything else. When I say we, the blacks and the poor people, so long, and the money that's going through the United States, first of all, of course, is our money. The poor people, you know, we're the biggest consumers. But the thing is that they're spending money on just wasteful money. You know, they're spending money, and the most of the money that they're getting, for instance, Claire McCaskill, her and her husband has a payday loan company, you know, the predatory lending that they say they're against. So on that, it's so much that goes along with that I can't even answer. I can't even comment really on that now. But I tell you this, she agreed to spend $1.4 trillion with Donald Trump on nuclear weapons. They agreed to spend, Donald Trump is spending $30 million just on a military parade. Now, what could that kind of money do for the United States, especially in the urban area? What could that money do, just some of it, right here in St. Louis, Missouri, or Kansas City, Missouri, in our urban area? So this is the type of, the one percenters are getting it all, and as we know, are not paying any taxes. And the poor people that's paying all the taxes are continuing to suffer. You know, and so if we continue to let them control the money, and that's the one reason why I want to get in here, because I want to have some say so over, hey, we got to put some money where the people, first of all, what's democracy all about? Because I ain't seeing it, you know. So they need to show us what democracy looks like, because I don't see it, and we don't see it in our community. And so that's what I'm fighting for, you know, to change these laws.
Taking me back to the protest days. I was about to start yelling there for a minute. This is what democracy looks like.
That's right.
Why? That's what I'm saying.
Copyright is a soldier. Copyright is a soldier, y'all. Y'all better know.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Now, based on the last election, you know, a lot of people have kind of given up on a political process, kind of what you were talking about as far as they feel like the 1% really controls the government through the banks and through lobby and through, you know, through all those type of things.
Right.
How do you feel, you know, once you get in there, how do you feel that you can combat the machine as far as the money and the banks and the lobbyists and all these things to stay true, you know, to the people?
Okay, first of all, how do I feel? Okay, the thing is that you're right. The lobbyists and the big corporations, they control a lot of the politicians. A lot of them are puppets for them. And, you know, that all boils down to greed. You know, so if you're the type of person that you feel, because you're living on a high hill with a remote control gate and cameras everywhere and everybody else a peasant, and you have it with yourself, you know, then I guess you'll easily fall for the banana in the tailpipe, you know. But, hey, you know, I'm cool where I am right now, you know, and I worked hard for what I have, and I'm cool with what I have. I'm not fighting for me. This battle ain't about copyright. This battle is about my grandkids, your grandkids, our great-grandkids, the great-great-grandkids, because we got to create generational wealth for the black community, point blank.
That's right.
We got to create generational wealth for the poor people and the working class. So we have some politicians right now, right here in St. Louis, that are sellout suckers, okay, that are being paid and being bought and sold like a $2 whatever, you know. But the thing is that, you know, and it's up to us, because I understand when people say, I don't want to get into politics, you know, because I don't believe it works. But you know what, people, we're in the politics whether we like it or not, because we're taxpayers. And as long as you're paying taxes, you're in the politics, you just don't have any say-so. So we can be in the politics, and we can put who we want to represent us, or we can step up and represent the people the way we feel it should be done. And that's what I'm trying to do, because I've been doing it anyway for free. Half the stuff on my platform, I've been doing it for free. missing people. I want to create a missing person center right here in Missouri because I already have it in my house. Okay, but it ain't big enough. I need a big one that everybody can utilize. Not just I go out when Monica Sykes was missing and help find her. Not just go out when somebody inbox me on Facebook and say, "Can you help me find my daughter?" You know, we need it for everybody. You know,
That's right.
You know, I'm trying to eliminate prison time for nonviolent offenses. We got brothers and sisters locked up. I talked to them at the workhouse when I went with Anthony Shaheed and Zaki Baruti and Minister Akbar Muhammad. We went down to the workhouse. Sisters locked up for traffic violations. You hear me? They done lost their children. They lost their homes, lost their jobs, everything. Because guess what? You don't pay your traffic ticket, that becomes a warrant. A warrant turns into jail. And so when we're getting maximum time for the minimum crime, it's ridiculous. You know, that could be paper pickup. That could be community service. That could be an ankle bracelet or house arrest or a fine or going to see somebody's paycheck, you know. And so what I'm proposing also is I'm not trying to be up there just by myself, you know. What I want is people to follow. Come on up there, too. It's two senators, like you said, two senators for every state. Be the next one. Blunt will be coming up in 2 years, okay? Then
right,
you run for
right.
Blunt, or we get somebody else to join me. We need power. There's strength in numbers, right? But I ain't bowing down. If I'm the only one up there fighting for us, at least when that line between when copyright was born and copyright died, they're going to be able to say copyright tried, okay?
That's right.
I'm going to keep fighting, you know, but we need more, fill more positions. I need more state reps. I need more, you know, they're trying to get rid of the black ottomans right here in the city of St. Louis. You know that?
I didn't know that.
We got 20. Heck yeah. Call any alderman and ask them. Right now what's happening is we have 28 aldermen. They're reducing it to 14. And they are actually, it's already been voted for it to happen because enough blacks didn't get out and vote. We got enough registered, but enough didn't vote. So they already won for it to happen, but we fought, they fought, and we stood with them for a revote. So in April we're gonna have a revote, and try to stop block that from happening. And then if enough blacks don't get out and vote against it, these black aldermen, bye bye. And then that means the black committee man followed right behind them because you know that's just the way it's set up, right?
Yeah.
And so you know, but then you got people that's running against. People that's already in office, and you got somebody else black running against certain people, and you have to figure out what's their agenda, because who's trying to split the votes and who really wants the position. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying?
Exactly.
Because it's a lot
and
of
we,
games being played off of payola,
that's right.
okay?
That's right.
Trust and believe
that's
that
right.
one. I see it because I know them all.
Yeah, I know. And we have to be strategic as a people when it comes to the political process and not just be political fight, especially in the presidential election. It seems like they just use black people for, you know, political fodder, as they say. Like, they just use us.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be smart and educated when it comes to these things. And we have to stand on an agenda that's strictly for black people. We can't be ashamed to say, what are you going to do for black people?
Exactly. You got a right to ask.
You know, you have a right to ask. You can include minorities and all these other groups, and then we don't get the benefits. Black people do the heavy lifting, but we don't seem to get the benefits of these particular minority programs. So we got to be specific with these candidates and ask them, what are you going to do specifically for the black community to help empower us, being that we are the ones that need the most help at this time.
That's right.
Yes, you brought up a great point.
We have to ask, and you know something else. Now with the presidential election, that college electoral, that's what pissed a lot of people off because they felt like their vote didn't count, and our vote really didn't count when the majority did not vote Trump in, but the college electoral did, and that's something else we have to get rid of, and that's on my platform to eliminate that. We got to get rid of it. But again, when politicians, I don't care if you're red, black, brown, green, or blue, when politicians don't do what they say they're going to do, and they're not even opening their mouth, because you got a lot of blacks that don't even open them. They get to the table with all these white folks, and then they freeze up because they don't want to appear to be like, why you can't be for your people? Why you can't be for what's right? You know, somebody being treated wrong, step up and say something.
That's right.
You know, and so whatever race you are, if you don't step up and do what you say you're going to do and you ain't at least trying, then guess what?
Mm-hmm.
It's a list called a recall sheet, okay? And that's what we got to do, recall them, okay? And I said, if I don't do what I say, I'm going to do recall me. Don't let somebody sit up there in office for 10, 12, 14, 20 years and you mm-hmm. be just complaining. They work for us. We're the taxpayers.
Yep.
We pay their salary. So if one of them is an employee, if an employee ain't doing what you're paying them to do, what you do? Get rid of them.
That's right.
And that's what we got to do.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
I wanted to ask you. But I wanted to ask you, like, going into something you said earlier, like when you were saying getting more people into running for these offices, can you give callers a heads up on, like, if they're interested in getting into politics, you know, what's some of the first steps that they can take, or who can they reach out to, you know, just to get some ask questions to them, see, you know, what route they can take. Who can they reach out to get some information or learn more about the political arenas, especially here in, you know, the local offices in St. Louis.
Oh, man, I welcome to come to our organization, Universal African People Organization, UAPO, because that's what we're all about, political proportionate political representation. And we're calling for 144,000 people. That's what we're hoping to build to. And, you know, 144,000 of like-minded people, just everybody that believes in proportionate political representation. You can be a part of other organizations. You don't have to be a part of an organization. We're not about a religion. We're not Black Panthers. We're not any particular religion. Everybody has their own religion. Some people don't have any religion, and that's okay.
Right.
All the only thing we have in common is that we believe in proportionate political representation, that we should be, if we're 13% of the population, we should hold 13% of the elective officials, and we support you. We support you. You don't, uh-huh. you know, a lot of times we're scared to run because we think, oh, well, I don't qualify. And then a lot of our own people say, well, what make you qualified? I want to know why you qualified. Let me tell you something. If the Constitution of the United States, Section Article 1, Section 3, say I qualified, then I'm qualified, goddamn. Simple as that. Okay?
Right.
So,
can you drop like the website or a telephone number to the UAPO so people can get a hold of you guys?
Sure, uapo.org.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
The phone number is 314-477-4629. That's 314-477-4629. And they can contact call the UAPO office, and it's only membership is really cheap. It's only $25 to join. And when any situation come up, I mean, we're there front line for whatever situation, you know. But people don't, you know, they wait till something happens. And you know, like we just dealt with a situation where somebody's father was a working man, worked his butt off, just bought him a brand new car last year, retired, and next thing you know, he had a stroke. They didn't see it coming, so he ended up in a home, and they won't let him out the home. The kids, the adult children, want him to live with them, but the home won't release him. And so, just saying, we don't know if you all qualify and all that. So they asked us to get involved. Long story short, we got involved. The man is back home now. But they didn't have him for 6 months because they know he's getting all his income from his retirement and all of this, and he owns his own home. And homes would love to get their hands on that because they own all your property. So whatever your situation is, whether it's police brutality, whether you're accused of something, whether it's whatever, when you feel like you need help and you don't have nobody, then we start saying, well, I'm going to call the NAACP, I'm going to call this person, and then they're not getting the results that they want, you know, and then they want everybody to step up. But you got to be a part of an organization, too. And we don't stand, we come anyway, but like I was telling our presidents, I keep it real, I said, you know what, we need people to, what about when if we have a problem, who come and step up for us? So everybody need to stick together. And then if you have a problem, with strength in numbers. You know what I'm saying? You know you got somebody mm-hmm. got your back. So we're asking for 144 like-minded people that want to help get people in political elected positions, as well as to stand with us. It's better if it's 144 of us going to show up than four of us. You know, but right now we have about a little under 100 members, but we want 144,000. And you know,
So
we got members in Chicago and Kansas and California, a couple other cities, but we're not as as strong as we want to be. We're strong, but we're not as large as we want to be, should I say. So, yeah, have them call.
That's
call
right.
us, you know, and we welcome, you know, welcome everybody because, you know, we got to do this. And we have the numbers. We have the people. All we need is the will,
right.
family. We
That's
just
right.
need the will.
That's right. That's
now,
right.
I have,
and
I have
this
a question. Let me ask a question real fast. Now, if you don't mind, kind of going over like some of the roles and responsibilities as whether you have sent to like what are some of the laws or policies that you have some influence over that you're saying you can help the community or how you can help the community just to give people some information and background as far as like what. You know, what is the role of the
USN? Well, the main way that I plan on helping the community is, like I said, passing laws, writing laws and bills that can benefit the poor people and the working class, you know, because we're still functioning off the same old rules, laws, and legislation from before slavery was abolished. And they weren't written for us. They were not written for us. So this is what I'm focusing on is changing laws and legislations as well as allocating money to different programs that can benefit the urban community. And also, you know, our support family forums, we need to do that as well. But all the things that's on my platform, that's what I'm pushing for. And, you know, like right now, for instance, okay, you know, our prosecuting attorney, Kim Gardner,
mm-hmm.
okay, City of St. Louis, over 60% of those crimes are unsolved. And then, you know, you hear people say, well, nobody want to snitch. Well, you're not a snitch unless you're part of the problem, you know, in the first place. But the thing is that who's going to step up and identify somebody or, you know, or help somebody to get prosecuted if the witness protection program has no funds? So Kim is doing a phenomenal job. I'm proud of her. But she'll tell you, there's no money in the witness protection program. So,
right.
see, we got a lot of people in powerful positions right now, but they don't have the finances, they don't have the funding to make it do what it needs to do, you know? Maybe if we could protect some of these people, maybe people will step up and say, okay, Lil Joe did it. But I'm not going to say Lil Joe did it, and next thing you know, my throat is slit before I can come and testify. People ain't no fool. You know, ain't nobody no fool. So these are things that have been overlooked. You know, the situation down at the workhouse, you know, last
mm-hmm.
year when their brothers and sisters didn't have no air conditioning. They hanging out the windows and we down there protesting and it's been ignored, you know. So it's so much on that other officials could do if they had more funds to work with and more programs, You know, just as I said, bringing the Black Wall Street. Okay, if we can allocate money down here, we instead of putting that money in other areas that we're not benefiting from a military parade. I mean, and I ain't got nothing
right.
against veterans. You know, hey, my brother just retired from the military 2 years ago after doing 25 years. You know, my dad was a vet. I had a lot of relatives as vet, but I still don't think they need no military parade. It's gonna cost $30 million. Go to Disneyland
right.
if you want it that bad, you know, Six Flags.
That's right.
And so, you know, so anyway, mm-hmm. I do the Juneteenth parade, and I pay for it myself, and it don't cost nowhere near $1 million, let alone $30 million, you know. And so the thing is that, again, we have to put ourselves in these powerful positions, and if we don't get there, we at least have to challenge the ones that's there. And eventually we
mm-hmm.
will get there. They thought it was a joke when Shirley Chisholm, first black person ever to run for president,
yeah.
right? They thought it was a
That's
joke.
Right.
It called her ugly, called her poor, called her everything, you know, and you ain't going to make it. You ain't going to make it. Well, she didn't. She didn't make it, but at least she tried, okay? And so we'll see.
That's
we'll
right.
see what happened on Tuesday, August the 7th. I feel like if enough people get out there and vote, you know, I don't have $21 million, you know, as Claire, you know, started in her account. Now, I don't know where she went up to, but just in February when we first filed, she was at $21 million, and I was at about $1. But anyway, guess
wow.
what? But
yeah.
that's all right, you know. While we've been doing it, we've been out here. I'm at 6 to 7 events a day. In addition to that, I'm shaking hands. I'm everywhere. I'm constantly steady meeting more people and getting the word out to let people know that they have a choice. you know, that I exist and you have a choice, you know. And if I can reach enough people, I spoke at over about 125 different forums and events and still speaking, okay? Going to speak all the way,
right.
Even on election day, I'm going to be running my mouth, okay? If it's no more than Facebook Live, you will hear from me. And if the word gets to the people, I did Juneteenth, the first Juneteenth parade I did. It was at Beckett
it
Park.
Was on Page,
what
right?
Started, Page and Taylor right there. It started right. at Vander and Del Mar. The parade did. It went up Del Mar too into Beckett Park on Page and Taylor. And Dick
uh-huh.
Gregory was my king. Frankie Freeman was my queen. And then
right.
that was in 2016. And then last year in 2017, guess who was the king? Well, Ollie Stewart was the queen. You know Ollie Stewart over all the seniors. Miss Ollie Stewart over at South
by
West.
That's my girl. Yes,
okay, love Miss Ollie Stewart. She I selected her as the queen. But guess who the king was?
Who?
Every father and father figure. Look it up in America. They covered it. We gave out 500 gold crowns to every father and father figure.
Oh, wow.
Because fathers are so important. And to see these fathers get up on a stage between the age of 17 and almost 107 years old, came up on that stage.
Mm.
It was their time to shine. They grabbed the mic. They got a chance to introduce themselves. How many people have been a father or a father figure too. And some of them just,
mm-hmm.
it was just tearful, you know, to see this. And at the same time, you know, couldn't do nothing but just have a heart full of joy, you know. And so.
Is that same location?
When I'm,
beautiful. Same location?
Same location. And then I learned
okay.
that through Hallmark that Father's Day is the least recognized holiday of all. That they give out, they sell more Thanksgiving cards than they do Father's Day cards, and that's a shame. And
wow.
so I love like all my brothers and uncles. They are the best fathers. My dad, the best father, and I have so much respect for fathers, and I know they are so important in children's lives. And so I had to recognize them. So this year I did two Juneteenth this year. The Missouri History Museum wanted to partner with me, and I partnered with them, and we did a Juneteenth on the 15th at the Missouri History Museum, and we did it on the 16th at Beckett Park, because I'm not giving up Beckett Park. I'm not going to give up the community. Can't give up the community. So I said, well, it's got to be two, because I'm not quitting in the community. And,
right.
So we did two and one parade. But I wrote the Juneteenth National Anthem. You know, I'm the writer of it, and it's said in California and Texas and New York, Chicago, but it wasn't being said here, you know.
Mm.
And so, yeah, so that's why I decided to I said, wait, we got to have an official Juneteenth parade, you know. And so I went downtown and I filed the necessary paperwork and I made it happen. I said, if it's just me and my three dogs, it will happen. And
that's right.
Yeah, but
is the community receiving you, That's right.
How do they receive me?
I said, how well do you think they receive you? Like, as far as, like, it's one thing to say, oh, yeah, I like her. She's, you know, she's fighting for this. But it's another thing to go out and vote. I know that's one of the issues that we see in our communities, that
mm-hmm.
a lot of people don't go out and actually support. Like, how do you feel with that? Like, do you think you got the support of the voters? Or, like, how do you think you're being received?
I think I'm received well, you know, especially every time I get this opportunity to speak, it's just an overwhelming amount of support. And then people saying, people that, you know, say, oh, they'll recognize me and I don't know them. And they'll say, I saw you speak here or you know, they heard me speak somewhere or they seen me fighting for something like the body cams or the news got a hold to something, you know, and saw me somewhere. So the community, they really received me well, you know. You have your few naysayers that that look you up and down, you know. If I'm wearing, like, right now, I have a jeans and T-shirt. And so I was out all day campaigning, you know, up and down Martin Luther King and in front of Sprinty Temple, you know, over by that. And you got people looking at you up and down like, and you running for United States Senate? Really? And look at her, like, you know, this peasant, you know. But then if I put on a suit and tie, then it's like, so are you one of those? You know, you talking about you running,
right.
you one of those, or are you really for the people? So some people you just can't
right.
please, you know. Some people
That's
just
right.
got to watch your smoke, you know. Watch my
mm-hmm.
smoke. Because
yeah.
if you look at we got a commercial we just did, and it's on YouTube, and it's all around Facebook. It's called Del Mar Divide, and it's only a two-minute commercial. And it just really, some of the questions you all asked, I answer right there in that 2-minute commercial. You know, as far as also Claire McCaskill's in that commercial and Clay, Lacey Clay is in it, and a lot of the frontliners are in it. I made sure I got everybody in it. Is that, you know? And so it's showing us in action, Jason Stockley, Ferguson. Now, y'all, I don't know if y'all remember Darren Seals, the brother Darren Seals, who they kicked. Okay, me and him, frontline together. Okay, he's in the video, right? And if we had more time than 2 minutes, I really would have let y'all hear all the stuff he was saying and the rest of the stuff I was saying, you know, but we just had to put a little snippet of me and him. But anyway, the thing is that one common question is, you know, when they look at me up and down, you know, and especially if you're black, you know, my reply to you is this radio DJ, Ray J, from 99.95 Mix. I don't know if y'all familiar with her. But she asked the question when she interviewed me, what does people say, and it's in that commercial I'm telling you about, what do you say when people say, well, why should we vote for her? You know, you're probably not going to win. You don't have any money. You don't have the money that they have, or you do this and that or that. And I ask, you know what I say? I say, do you think about that for your mama? Do you think about that when you see your sister or your daughter or your auntie or your niece? Or your neighbor or your girlfriend, because I'm all of them, okay? Don't try to discredit me. If you're going to discredit me, discredit all of them. And if you're sitting there telling me your mama ain't good enough to run, or your sister or your daughter or your auntie or your niece or your neighbor ain't good enough because what, she's a black woman? Because she may not have millions of dollars? Then you don't even have any faith or confidence in yourself. And that's a doggone shame if you feel that way because this thing will never change. And I said when I go to the white farms, I tell them, I hope they don't hold it against me because I'm black, because that ain't going to never change, okay?
That's right.
And they clapped.
That's right.
They stood up and clapped for me. And that was right there in St. Louis by the Bevo Mills at their firehouse for the 11, 12, 13, 14 ward. And you can see the pull that on YouTube, Coffee Wright, 11, 12, 13, 14 ward meeting. And you'll hear what I had to say. And you'll see all them white people in that room. It was about 300 of them, okay? And see, didn't they clap? And I got the biggest clap and a standing ovation. I ain't playing with them, you know.
That's right.
I ain't even playing because, you know, if you ain't racist, if you're racist, then I ain't trying to appease you, you know, and I darn sure ain't trying to, you know, I know I'm not going to get your vote. And I don't care what race you are. So if you for real and you white, Mexican or whatever you are, then nothing I say should offend you, you know. Unless you're against us, and you have no reason to be against poor people, you have no reason to be against working people, you have no reason to be against black people unless one person personally done something to you, you know?
Exactly.
But the Quakers helped us free, right? Harriet Tubman didn't do it by herself. I mean, they had to have us in places and help her with that Underground Railroad. So we do
have
white allies, you know. Everybody white ain't wrong, but everybody white ain't right neither.
Right. Well, that's We want
you know,
to thank you.
And we got to know that, right? We got to know that we okay, too.
I want to personally thank you. This is Brother Kerr with Collective Minds. Personally, thank you for the work you have been putting in. Again, family, this is Ms. Carla Coffee Wright. She is running for the United States Senate seat. The primary election is August 7th. So please get out there and vote. Look up on YouTube. And before we let you go, Ms. Coffee Wright, can you just give us some closing words and how can people find you, you know, if they want to look you up and all that?
Please go to my website, CoffeeWrightUSSenate.com. That's CoffeeWrightUSSenate.com. And also, please feel free to call the campaign office at area code 314-201-7711. 314-201-7711. And we definitely could use some help with our volunteers, family. We definitely can use some help. We need people to still work their neighborhoods and pass out literature for us. If you want some yard signs, we got some more of those coming in, as well as if anybody is available to work the polls in your area. Even if it's just the poll that you vote at, if you can stay there for, put in a few hours there just to give out literature at the poll on election day, because we have to get the word out to let everybody know they have a choice. And my word is power to the people, power to all the people. I'm Coffee Wright, family, and that's right, I said it.
Hey, power to the people. Right. I'm Coffee Wright. Make sure you give Zaki Baruti, tell him Brother Mufasa said hello,
And we'd love to have him on the show one day as well when he gets some time.
Thank you. Hey, Zaki is in Kansas City right now campaigning for me. He's covering 4 different events there today. I've been at 4 events here, and then he'll be back tomorrow. He left yesterday, and so I'll definitely let him know. And feel free to call him. He'd love to hear from you all, especially since he's over the you know, if he don't have to come in the studio, then it's even better for him because he can talk while he's driving. He'll love to talk to you.
Yeah, Zaki likes to talk while he's driving.
and he's going to be recruiting people. Proportionate political representation, family. That's what it's all about. You know,
that's thank
right.
you again.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you again for sharing some of your evening with us. We appreciate it. And good
thank
luck
you all.
August 7th. All right.
I really appreciate
Please.
That. Remember, I'm
yeah.
number one on the Democrat ballot, family. Number one. Don't have to look
number
hard.
One.
Number
right.
one. I'm
number
the first
one.
Name you see. Copyright.
All right.
Thank you
okay.
so much.
Indeed.
Okay. Bye now.
Thank you. All right.
All right.
All right. All right, family. That was a powerful. This was our open discussion episode, but it's actually turned into the political primary election episode. And we had 2 powerful guests. Once again, thank the guests. Ms. Mavis Thompson, who's the St. Louis License Collector. She is running to retain her seat as the License Collector. And we just heard from the sister, Ms. Carla Coffey Wright, powerful sister running for the United States Senate for the Missouri seat. So, yeah, there you have it. I mean, that was enough, I think, for you to make some decisions and do your research and see what you want to do on August 7th, which is not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. Yeah, brother, Mufasa, Rise of Star, what y'all think?
Good information. Very good info.
I learned some things, and that was some good information. Now, Mufasa Ra.
No, same here. I appreciate the powerful, those, like you say, 2 powerful sisters that came on and representing, you know, not just representing for black people, but representing for people as a whole. And
that's
when you
right.
really get into this field and you come to realize that it's all about being righteous. At the end
right.
of the day, no matter what color you are, you should be striving for truth and righteousness in your life.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So I really appreciate them sisters coming in and holding it down for our people. And let's support them. Let's get out there and let your voice be heard. Support good, wholesome, righteous people. And that's
Facts.
How we're going to get somewhere in this world.
Yep, indeed. I couldn't have said it better, my brother. That is definitely how we're going to get somewhere. You know, like she said, it's about helping all folks, you know what I mean? Like Nellie Fuller said, the definition of justice is the people that need the most help should get the most help. You know what I'm saying? They should be first in line to get the help. And from where I stand and where I sit, it seems as if, you know, black people were in a situation where we need the most help. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's mental, we got trauma we're dealing with, killings, we got this and that. So there's a lot of things in our community that we need help on, and we should be first in line to get the help. But what happens a lot of times is we go out.
It is what it is.
We do the heavy lifting. We on the front lines for all these controversy, and then when the bill gets passed, we don't see any other benefits. So now it's time that we, you know, get smart, we wise up, we come together, and we, you know, unite for a righteous cause. To help ourselves, lift ourselves up. And when we lift ourselves up, we're going to lift other people up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A great black community just makes for a great community, period. You know, due to the
right.
system, we shouldn't be segregated right. and separated into these communities anyway. But since we got to deal with the racial aspect and the way we've been treated, we have to lift ourselves up and become better people in order to do that. You know, so that's what it's about.
Yeah.
I say the word is powerful. And yeah.
So
I'm
definitely
excited,
at the
man.
End of the day, I gotta do my brother Mufasa disclaimer because
yes,
y'all
sir.
Know me. And y'all know even though I'm down for the humans and all that, but hey, I gotta say I'm always for my people foremost.
Another one.
So
right.
I had to throw that jab in there, bow bow bow. But hey,
yeah,
but like
yeah.
I said, long as we respect each other. As long as we respect each other, that's what it's all about. respect each
That's
other.
That's right. That's
you know,
right. Because black love
just
is
because
not about
I from,
hitting nobody else.
There you go. There you go. I love my people, and I want to see my people do better and achieve. It don't mean that I'm hating on you. I'm hating on another
That's
race.
Right.
It just means I know I love my race, and I want us to do good as well.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, family, this Collected Minds Radio. Again, we had a powerful episode. We had Ms. Carla Coffey Wright. She is running for the United States Senate seat for the primary election on August 7th. And we also had Ms. Mavis Thompson, who is running for licensed collector for the city of St. Louis. So, you know, in your local city or town or wherever you at, I'm sure y'all may have primaries coming up. Look into it. See who's running. If nobody's running, maybe y'all should be thinking about putting a black candidate in there for next year or upcoming elections and all that. You know, they kind of gave us some game on how to get started in a political process. And the only thing you got to do is look at the Constitution and see what are the requirements for you running. And a lot of times you'll be surprised that the requirements are just you be a certain age and a citizen of that particular state or country. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of the requirements are really not may not be as tough as you think. Some people may think, oh, I didn't graduate college, I can't run, or I don't have this amount of money, I don't have this and that. But like I say, look at the requirements, check them out, and you'll probably see that the requirements are mostly based on age, and that's it. As long as you're a citizen of that particular state, you can run, you know. So No, I was just going to say, like she said, I'm going to do this the last point. It's really to show that we can put it out there. And the more of us run, even if we don't get it the first time, the more of us run, eventually we go, you know, we can get in and get in that process. So, but yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, only thing I was going to add, I really wanted, was hoping tonight we could have got into that debate topic on that gas station thing. So, if we can get chop into that next week, or you know, y'all want to get into that, we still got some stuff to discuss on that situation. So,
yeah, that's
you know,
right.
we can discuss over because I definitely want to get y'all opinions on that.
Yeah, indeed, and we probably will say that for next week, I guess, because we're down to about 3 minutes for the live stream.
Yeah.
Again, thanks to all the guests.
Good.
Thanks to the callers. Thanks
Another one.
To all the supporters. Rigel Star, Mufasa Ra, I want to thank y'all. Y'all have been great hosts. I don't know if I ever said that live, so just to put that on the record, I really enjoy this show and the dialogue and the constructive conversations that we have. And they are logged in forever, and we can always go back and review them. And, you know, it's like a time capsule. This is what we're doing at Collected Minds. We are recording conversations, constructive conversations for the family and for you to
Another
call
one.
Up and enjoy. And this is enough.
All praises be to Allah.
Yes, all praises do. And any last words? I'm going to let y'all close it out. Mufasa, Rise of Star.
All praises be to Allah. All praises be to Allah. And I'm out.
And I'm out. Okay, I'm making this quick. Yeah, I definitely want to get into that debate, though, about the incident at the gas station, because I stand with my people, but in a different way, I would not have protested that situation. You know, sometimes I don't think everything needs to be protested in that same fashion, but I would love to hear other people's opinions just to get their insight on why they chose to do that and just get some different inputs on the situation. So you can say that for another time. Go in if you want to do that next week, if you guys want to, we can talk about that.
Okay, indeed, yeah. We'll probably get into that at the beginning of the show next week, depending on the topic. You know, but we'll definitely get into it at the beginning. So peace, y'all. Thank you for calling Collected Minds. We signing off until next week.
Y'all be throwing that fist up. You know what to represent, right? Well, if you don't, let me enlighten. All black power spinning, money with my own kind. All black power buying land that I can.
call mine.
Black power.
Educated, innovative mind.
Black power.
Unity and self-defense combined.
Black power.
Educated, innovative mind. Put a black extension on my AR. If my blackness is offensive, I don't say sorry. When it's time to handle business, gotta play your part. If you're not black, I'ma play the race card. No, he didn't, yup, I just play the race card. I'm enlightened, so that's why I feel safe and dark. I'm a warrior, probably got like 8 scars. Revolutionaries can't be scared to wage wars. For the people who oppressed in this cold world, Africans are connected around the whole world. Speaking of Africa, we should treat it like a planet. Total independence, it's gonna take strategic planning.
Black power,
spending money with my own kind.
Black power,
buying land that I can call mine.
Black power,
educated, innovative mind.